Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back Captain Alexandra Haggerty. She is Master Mariner Unlimited. How are you?
Very good. Very good. It's nice to be back. And thank you so much for having me again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the last time we introduced you, you got quite a showing because you are what, one of 149 women in the United States with that title?
Yes, that's true. We're getting more every year. So I think a few more friends of mine have upgraded to Master Mariner Unlimited Tonnage. And I'm really happy to see those numbers keep going up every single year.
Well, and you are well known as being a bit of a mentor for that and sort of campaigning for more and more women to join the industry.
Yes, I'm part of WISTA, which is Women's International Shipping and Trading Association. Right now, it's represented in 54 different countries around the world. I'm also on the International Propeller Club Maritime Policy Committee. So we're also pushing for more diversity, understanding more economic and security policies that will affect our maritime industry now and in the near future, and also just promoting women in maritime by having female cadets on board. Last year, I had the most maritime administration cadets on board my vessel, the Cape Washington, and it was really wonderful to mentor them. And now I'm seeing them move up, obtain their third mate's licenses, and they're being interviewed for different jobs all over the world. So it's been quite an exciting year for sure.
Well, what size vessel are you on right now?
908 feet. So I'm currently on the USNS Sugar, which is operated by Ocean Ship Holdings and under Military Seal of Command, based out of Norfolk, Virginia.
Nice. It's nice to see you captaining that, I gotta say.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, part of the reason that we had you on board today is because it is National Maritime Day for the U.S. Now, that's an important day. And I have to say something that we talked about off air prior to recording is that nobody really talks about the maritime industry as a whole. We hear about boating, we hear about yachting, we hear about cruise ships, but those people that make sure that not only do we receive the food that we eat on a daily basis, but as well those that make sure that we're protected, nobody talks about them. Now, explain to me what the National Maritime Day means.
So the National Maritime Day was created by Congress in 1933, and it's a holiday. It's a holiday to celebrate and honor all the people that were in the U.S. Merchant Marine. It also commemorates the first steam-powered transoceanic voyage on the Savannah. The Savannah is a steamship that set sail from Savannah, Georgia on 1819 over to Europe. And it also reflects our identity as a nation. I think National Maritime was founded by salty sailors. Our country was founded by salty sailors. And you might want to meet a few of us. We've got a lot of stories to tell. We've done so many different things, from run your cruise ships. We run the tugs. We run the shipyards. We do so much. And it's really an important day for all of us to come together and highlight all the different individuals that really build the U.S. maritime industry, from the ports to the shipyards to shipbuilding to the merchant mariners that are out there that risk their lives to transport goods and cargo, to FEMA workers in times of natural disasters. You know, we're there in times of peace and in times of war, and that is our motto. And we really stand by that. We are always there. And we drive 90% of all goods all over the world. So when that Ever Given got stuck, what happens? You know, the whole world started talking about what is this industry? It's the maritime industry. And what, I'm not going to get my iPad this year. So, and how it affects billions of dollars of trade and how piracy is involved in that. We really have to think of National Maritime Day as an important part of our identity. And it's an important part of our country's history.
Why do you think that people don't actually acknowledge those that are in the maritime industry, those that are, you know, I have been doing my research and I've seen lately that, you know, there has been ships that have been literally abandoned by owners with crew on board for years. You know, we don't give them the kind of recognition that they deserve. Why do you think that is?
I think part of this is we are not part of the military, even though we support the military. And from a long time, we've been seen as an afterthought, even though there were more U.S. merchant mariners that died during World War II than any other branch of the military. So that's quite relevant, and that is quite important. We have to highlight that. And moreover, we move all the cargo for the entire world. And I think if people start seeing a change in, for example, the colonial pipeline, when the oil gets cut, everyone starts paying attention to the industry. And it's important for us to highlight the industry in times of good and bad and how important it is for us to be recognized nationally and internationally. And we are just so important right now. And our industry is losing a lot of ships and we really need to build it back up.
Well, how many ships are there currently?
Currently, there's 100 U.S. flagged vessels, ocean-going U.S. flagged vessels, and about 41,000 smaller crafts in the United States.
And what are these vessels used for then?
These vessels can be used for all different types of needs. So that could be, for example, moving cars like ro-ros, drilling for oil. There's drill ships in the Gulf of Mexico. There's tugs that are moving barges, dredging. We have, you know, obviously yachts and different types of cruising vessels, cruise ships. We have, you know, commercial vessels that move grain for the U.S. aid program over to different parts of the Middle East and Africa and other countries that really require food. It's part of our U.S. aid program. It's absolutely amazing. And then we also have hospital ships. We have the USNS Comfort and the USNS Mercy that also help in times of need. For example, in New York, during the COVID crisis, one of our hospital ships went up there and helped with surgeries for those hospitals that were full of people and didn't have a place to go. They went onto that ship and they were able to get life-threatening surgeries performed under, you know, the safe care of a physician and in a safe place where COVID was not present. So we have to think about all the things that we do and also natural disasters. Moving FEMA workers is going to be another issue in the future. As more hurricanes start ramping up, you know, there's more super typhoons and the weather is getting more serious over the years. And you can see that, you can read about it. And we need ships. We need more ships to support all the different things and activities and the U.S. economy.
Let me ask you. You mentioned the number of ships that you have now. Has there been a time in history where you've had more ships?
Yes. So the 1970s and earlier, we had over 500, 600 U.S. flagged vessels. The problem is a lot of our shipbuilding capabilities are no longer there. A lot of our ships, you know, are not being built. And, you know, South Korea and China are now building a lot of the vessels, as well as certain shipyards in Europe, up in Rotterdam. And many of our ships, their average age is 44 years old. And we even still have a few steamships left. We are slow, and without a growing fleet of U.S. commercial ships operating, I don't know how we're going to move forward. I mean, America's sea lift is ironically dead in the water. So...
Well, I mean, you know, we've seen that in this last year, year and a half, that yacht sales and boat sales, et cetera, in the U.S. have skyrocketed. So that is something that is a benefit. As well, we are seeing that the recent trade war that was happening between Europe and the U.S., that the extra tariff that they were going to be putting on U.S. boats is not going to happen at this stage. For how long, I'm not sure, but it's not going to happen. So that means that the U.S. will be able to sell their boats outside of their territory. Well, they always would be, but now they'll actually sell them because a 50% rate of tax or levy is something that most people don't want to pay. Do you think that is going to, you know, change over to the larger shipbuilding as well?
Well, right now we have shipbuilding that is taking place. The Maritime Administration provides ships from the National Defense Reserve Fleet as training vessels. So they're going to be building six state academy training vessels, and they're going to be replacing these older ships. There's also talks about vessel acquisition. So we're going to buy ships from overseas and then reflag them American and have merchant mariners crew these vessels. The Maritime Security Fleet is going to continue working to provide this. And also under the Jones Act, if you don't know, the Merchant Marine Act of 1920, we can keep making more ships in the United States. So we maintain America's shipbuilding capacity by the U.S. government giving loans out to 125 different shipyards and repair facilities that keeps everybody working and it keeps all the skills going. And currently, you know, we're trying to build some more vessels. Tote has the contract right now, and they're going to be building the new school ship vessels as of right now. And all these different shipyards, 125 shipyards in the United States, this employs more than 650,000 Americans and their families. So we really have to think about the Biden administration and building back better. We have to build the American Merchant Marine better, and we have to build it back to what it used to be, what those numbers in the 500-600s used to be. And, you know, we can also reduce our carbon footprints at the same time. We got to start investing in LNG and hydrogen and ammonia. We have France and Japan that are already building hydrogen vessels. And we now have U.S. vessels with LNG. For example, Pasha is going to be building some more on the West Coast. We have LNG container ships going between Puerto Rico and Jacksonville right now, moving important supplies between those two areas, especially livestock, containers, anything that they need, cars. Everything's going by maritime. And we also need to invest in our maritime highways. It's called short sea shipping. And that's really going to be a big part of the future, because our capacity, our roads are blocked. You know what traffic is in New York and different cities around the world. We have to also improve our shipping capabilities, so that way we're taking less of a toll on traffic and congestion and pollution in cities, moving container by container. We can be doing this like Norway. Norway right now has the ability to do short sea shipping with autonomous vessels. Where is the U.S. headed in this way? And in this regard, we have to invest in that. I mean, it's going to help our overall country's infrastructure, just like building a super fast bullet train. You know, in Tokyo, they have the bullet train. It gets you from A to Z. We could do the same thing with cargo. So why not invest in it? And why not invest in our own country's infrastructure? We have so many waterways. You know, you think about the Columbia River, the Mississippi River. We have so many different ways to do short sea shipping. Think about those Staten Island ferries that they just built in New York. You know, that's moving people so that way they don't have to take cars or taxis or Ubers anymore into the city. They can, you know, use short sea shipping. It's a marine highway. So why don't we do the same thing with cargo? There's just so many different options and ways that we can invest and grow our maritime industry if we take the time and really study it, research it, and bring the right players together.
Well, and I think as well, we have to make sure that around the world, we do pay attention to those that work in the maritime industry as well, and give them the respect that they deserve.
Definitely. And another thing that I think about is training and education. You know, how do we reach out to people? It's training and education. It's starting at a young age. As of May 19th, the U.S. Department of Transportation, Maritime Administration announced that there are now 27 centers of excellence for domestic maritime workforce training and education. So what does this do? This designates different areas for young people and continuing education to improve their maritime skill sets, whether that's welding, becoming an able-bodied seaman, the seven merchant maritime schools in the United States. There's so many ways to also create that well-trained labor from a young age. So right now, I don't know if you know this, but there's 60 maritime high schools in the United States, 60. Wow. And so that is pretty impressive. And some of them are the Mast Academy in Miami, Jacksonville's Blue Water Maritime School, to premier training facilities in the United States for union workers like myself, like the Star Center in Dania Beach, Florida, or MyTax up in Baltimore, I believe, right now. So there's just so many different places. And we really have to take the time to also do videos and highlight our careers. One of the things that was very interesting was having Commodore Janice Smith come to my vessel, and we started discussing the importance of women in maritime diversity, education and training, and where do we see the maritime industry in the near future with military sealift commands, with maritime administration vessels, and how are we going to build our U.S. maritime industry? And a lot of that was coming down to training and getting young people excited about our industry. One of the things I wanted to do with her was to do Zoom videos and run through the ship and the engine rooms and have kids interact with merchant marine officers like myself and learn about our careers, learn about it and bring it into the classroom. Some of the cool things you can do now is even adopt a ship. Classrooms can adopt a ship or write to a ship, and the officers and the crew interact with these kids. And as the ship goes around the world, they get postcards and they tell them cool facts about the countries that they're going to, the cargo that they're moving, pictures of the crew, pictures of the classroom. And the kids can go trace the ships on maps and pinpoint where the ship is moving around the world. And it's a much more interactive feature that I think highlights our mariners and really brings our country together at a young age. So when kids are hitting high school, they're like, oh, I know what a merchant mariner is. I want to go to one of those maritime schools or a maritime high school. And I want to, you know, volunteer, you know, to get involved in sailing and shipping and learn how many opportunities are available in this career. There's so many opportunities, and you don't have to be stuck on a ship either. You can ship out for a few years and then you can take it somewhere else, become a ship broker, be a port agent, a captain of a port. You can, you know, run a huge company and change your life that way. And you can also start a nonprofit. I know Ali Sedano of Women Offshore. She, if you've heard of her, she started a huge nonprofit called Women Offshore that brings women together and they can talk about the industry and get young people involved in mentoring and career days. And doing all these different events, this is what's going to bring us together. And this is also going to reflect, again, our National Maritime Day and what our identity is and how important shipping is. I mean, we were founded by salty sailors. So why don't you start talking to us?
You know what? I completely agree. And, you know, you're more than welcome to come back on board anytime and share the message and spread the message. And, you know, you've got it right in the fact that heading off to hit kids when they're young and to let them know that this is an option, because it's not something, it's like, you know, we were saying, not many people really realize that this career exists because nobody talks about it. So if you bring it to them and say, look, here it is, this is what we're doing, this is what it's all about, you can get a whole new generation excited about it. And hopefully we can continue, you know, what America was built on into the future.
Very true. Very true. Yes. And, you know, I just hope that a lot of young people read this message today and get excited. And I hope that they come and reach out to me. And if they want to ask questions about the career or get involved in school, that they can, you know, that this is a really exciting industry and it's just so international. It's multicultural. We have people of all ages and backgrounds involved in it. And where I'm seeing a lot more women and minorities than ever before finding the right place for them and the right path. And, you know, they can go join the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy or any of the other seven academies that have brought so many mariners around the world. And it's also a quite a lucrative career where, You know, you can work part of the year and have part of the year off and live a very nice life with benefits and, you know, retirement and medical. And as Americans, that's very important to us. Yeah. We have some interesting times ahead. And so I really thank you so much for having me on today. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you for joining us. And if you could actually provide us with all of your links or any of the links that you think would be important for those out there watching this, we would really love to be able to post them underneath this interview when it airs. Listen, Captain Alexandria Hegarty, thank you so much for your time. It is very much appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was a pleasure. And I wish everybody a happy National Maritime Day. And don't be afraid to reach out and contact me and find out how exciting this career can be. Thank you. And keep following me on Instagram, Captain Alexandra, or you can reach out to me on Facebook. Have a great day.
You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. Please tune in again for another episode.